If you have a Bible, I think my sound guy will put up some verses as we go through there. But Brother Bryce has been teaching this week, and he's been teaching, the whole theme has been about being a servant in the kingdom. Being a servant in the kingdom. And the verse that you kids learned, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, is saying exactly that. A steward in the biblical language was a man who was a servant of an owner or a king or someone over him who had authority, and he was a servant. And the Lord was saying, hey, if you are my child, if you know me, you are my steward, you are my servant, and if you're going to be my servant, it's required of you that you be found faithful. That is, that you be found trustworthy, that you be found doing what it is you should do. A servant, basically, like I said, is someone who serves somebody else who is in authority over them. And so Brother Bryce taught all that this week. But remember, he also taught something else. He taught that today, as we live in this world, that there's more than one kingdom going on, right? What's one of the kingdoms he taught about? What's one of the kingdoms he taught? Go ahead, you can shout it out. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God's another term that's used. The same, those are interchangeable very often in the scriptures. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. What's the other kingdom? The kingdom of this world. Now listen, if a servant is to be found faithful, trustworthy, dependable, you can't serve two kingdoms. You can't serve two kingdoms. And what that means is this. If there's two kingdoms, there's two that claim to be king, right? There's two that claim to be king. And the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of heaven are directly opposed to each other. And so are the kings. So Psalm 24, I'm going to read beginning in verse 1, says this. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. So the question we ask here from these verses is, who has the right to be king? Since there's more than one king, since there's the kingdom of heaven and there's the kingdom of the world, who has the right to be king? Well, right here, you know, the devil claims to be the God of this world, the king of this world. The Bible even declares that about Satan. He is the God of this world, little g, but he claims to be the king of this world. When Jesus walked on earth and when he was a man, he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and he was tempted by the devil. And after he'd fasted 40 days, the devil came to him and he spoke to Jesus, and he said this. It says that he took him up into an high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms that were in the world, all the earthly kingdoms, all the kings, all the princes, all of that. And in a moment of time, supernaturally, he was able to show Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. And then the devil said this. He said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now Jesus replied to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But I want you to understand something. Jesus never negated the devil's claim that he had the authority over all the kingdoms of the world, that he could give them. Jesus never said, you're a liar, you can't do that. And that tends to make us lean towards the fact that much of what is going on in this world today and has been going on for centuries has really had the hand of Satan in it, the hand of the devil working in it. But the Bible says in Psalm 24, in verses 1 and 2 that I read to you, that the earth, the world, and everything in it. Now listen, notice what it says there. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Who dwells in the world? We do. we dwell in the world. It says that all of that belongs to the Lord. Everyone that dwells in the earth, every creature that dwells in the earth, belongs to God. And the reason for that is it says that he founded it. And the word founded can be understood as he created it. He created it. You know, if you make something, you carve something out of wood, or you make a picture, you paint a picture, you create something in that sense, it belongs to you. And in that sense, what it says about the Lord is this, that he's the founder. He created the world, therefore he's the king. So how can the devil claim to be the king of this world? Well, remember, Brother Bryce went back this week and he went to Genesis chapter 3 and he talked about Adam and Eve and he spoke about Adam and Eve and God putting them in the Garden of Eden. And do you remember, he didn't read this part, but it says in chapter 1 of Genesis in verse number 26, God said to the other persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, said, let us make man in our image. And then he said this, and let them have dominion over all the earth. And what that teaches us in the scripture is that when God created Adam and created Eve, and he put the two of them in the Garden of Eden, they were the only human beings, and God said, listen, I'm giving you rule over the world. I'm going to make you the king. Now, you have dominion over the world. But you remember, God said, listen, there's only one thing, all right? There's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can have everything else. You have dominion over everything, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you don't have dominion over that. That's mine. Don't eat of the fruit thereof. And what did Adam do? What did Adam and Eve do? They got tempted by the devil, and they ate of it. And so what the scriptures teach is when that happened, the devil took dominion over that. He took dominion over the world. He stole it from Adam and Eve, and they lost the right. And by the way, believe it or not, everybody in here comes from Adam and Eve. It's been a long way back, but all of us here come from that couple, that offspring. We are their offspring. And it seems that God's original intention was that men would rule and run his kingdom. But the devil tricked him into that. And what we understand from this is that Satan, though he is called the god of this world, that he does not have the right to be the king of the world. The world and all that's in it belongs to the Lord, because he created it. You know, the devil never created anything. He never does. He takes what God creates and he perverts it. He twists it. God made music. The Bible's very clear that angels sang and praised him even before the world was created in the universe. God created music. But boy, doesn't the devil work in music today? You know, all the technology that we're finally understanding, I don't have my phone with me, but with the phone and the computers and movies and all of the things where we can stream stuff and do that. You know, God created all that. He created it for the blessing of human beings, and he created it to be used for good. But you know, the devil often takes stuff like that and creates it for evil. And that's what we have to understand. The world and all that's in it belongs to the Lord because he created it. But the devil takes what God creates and twists it and perverts it. Let me tell you something. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good thing you enjoy in life, you can give thanks to the God of heaven. Every good thing. Because that's where it comes from. It comes from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. But isn't there a lot of evil and hurtful things going on in our world today? Isn't there a lot of stuff that, man, you're looking at it and you're thinking, I can't believe this kind of stuff is happening. How can that be? And this is one of the arguments that people have about God. If God's the creator, how come? How come that happens? Well, it's a result of the devil and those that are in his kingdom. So who has the right to be king? Well, who has the right to be king over the world? Whoever created it and founded it. How can you be a servant then to the king? How do you become a servant to the king? Don't forget, there are two kingdoms, all right? The kingdom of the world is controlled by the devil. He's the prince of the power of the air, just a number of things. I won't go through the scriptures with you. But you know something? For you to serve the king of this world, for you to serve the kingdom of the world, the only qualification there you just don't serve the other king. You don't serve the king that created the world and all the things that are in it. You don't have to do anything to serve the devil and his kingdom. Do you know that? You don't even have to. I know that you're not here today and say, well, I'm a Satan worshiper. I worship him. You don't have to do that to serve the devil. You just don't have to do nothing. Because we're all born into this world from Adam and Eve with a sin nature. We're all born like that. So we all come into the world like that. You don't have anything to do anything to serve the devil and his kingdom. You can just live how you want. Like, you don't have to worry about anything or anyone. You can just live for you. You can just enjoy your life. I want to tell you something about the devil, though. He's a liar. John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus was speaking to some people, and he said, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And let me tell you something. One of the things the devil does not tell you, one of the things he doesn't tell you, is that one day your life is going to end. Your physical life's going to end. He really doesn't have to tell it to. Once we grow up a little bit and get in the world, we recognize no human beings live forever, right? They die. And that's what the devil doesn't like for you to think about. But the truth is, everybody in here, if the Lord doesn't come back in the next short period of time, everybody in here is going to one day, their body's going to quit and they're going to die. And somewhere they're going to have a funeral for you and bury you in the ground or cremate you or whatever. And your life is going to end. But I have to tell you something, the devil's a liar. What he doesn't tell you is that when your physical life ends, you don't end. God created man to live forever. You're an eternal or an everlasting soul. Your soul is who you are. You'll never end. You'll live somewhere forever. Remember, we said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If you make something, it belongs to you. And God made you. He gave you life. He gave you a free will. He gave you a brain, a mind to do those things. And when your life ends, you'll go back to God. Now listen. And he will judge your life. He will judge your life. Every one of us sometime is going to stand before God. I'll give you scripture. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The devil doesn't want you to think about that, but it's the truth. I think really, if you're a human being, you kind of know there's more than just this life. Somewhere inside there's something that says there's got to be more than this. There's more than this. If you serve the kingdom of this world and this phony king, even if you don't acknowledge him and you don't like him, when you stand before the true king, God, what do you think will happen? Listen, you don't have to do anything to serve the devil's kingdom. You just have to do, the only thing you can't do is serve God in his kingdom. But the Bible says to enter the kingdom of God, there's some things that have to happen to you. To enter the kingdom of heaven, there's some things that have to happen to you. Chapter 24 of Psalm 24, let me read you some verses. I'm almost done. That's probably not true, but let me read you a few verses. I will be done. Verse 3, who shall ascend? Talking about this. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Notice the requirements there to ascend to the hill of the Lord. He says, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? You have to have clean hands. And that doesn't mean you go in the bathroom and wash the crud off them from the day. That's not what he's talking about. The psalmist is making reference to the fact that, listen, it speaks about your actions, the things you do with your hands and your feet. You have to have clean hands. Notice what else he said. You have to have a pure heart. Pure. You have to have a pure heart. That means that's speaking about your thoughts. That's speaking about your imaginations. You can't have a dirty mind. You can't think evil things. He says, you can't lift your soul up unto vanity. And that's really speaking about, it's talking about worshiping false idols is what it's talking about at that time. That you worship something other than God. We might understand it best as saying this. Who ascends to the hill of the Lord? The hill of the Lord. He who always puts God first. Doesn't worship any other things in place of him. Now look what it says there in verse 4. Nor sworn deceitfully. What's that talking about? That's talking about lying. It's talking about being deceitful. Now think about that. He gave all those requirements, and he gave them in response to the question, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Well, can I tell you with those requirements? I can't. I can't keep that. I can't do that. I don't think anybody in here could do that, but I'll confess to you, I don't. My heart's not pure, not always pure. My actions are not always clean. I sometimes am deceitful and I lie. If you want to serve, if you want to be a servant of the kingdom, how can you do that if you don't meet God's qualifications? How can you ascend to the hill of the Lord? How can you ascend the hill of the Lord? How can you stand in his holy place if you don't meet those? How can a sinner go to the hill of the Lord and stand there? We don't have a king in the United States of America. We got some guys trying to be kings, but we don't have any right now yet. Our country was founded based upon not wanting a king, not wanting someone to do that. Where did our country, the guys that founded our country, where did they come over from mostly? From England, right? Have you ever heard of Buckingham Palace? Brother Dave, throw that up there, Buckingham Palace. It's where the king or the queen, the king lives there now, used to be the queen, and for centuries and centuries they've had a king or a queen, and they dwell there in Buckingham Palace, those big gates. A fence all the way around, and there's soldiers that guard that place. Put that next one up there, would you? There's soldiers that guard the gates of that city so that nobody can get to the king. Years and years ago, when England had a king, there was a little boy, and he was from a poor family, and he had made himself, he walked down the streets of London, and he'd go to Buckingham Palace, and there was a guard there standing in that, probably in that red suit with that big furry hat, and this little boy was pleading his case. He said, I need to see the king. I've got to talk to him about something very important. And the guard didn't want to take time for him. He didn't pay attention really to him. He just said, go away. And what was on the little boy's heart was very important. So much so that when that guard sent him away, refused to hear him and let him in the gate, he turned around and a tear began to run down his cheek because he had something so important and he needed to speak with the king. As he turned to walk, coming down the street was a man dressed like a businessman, very sharp suit and tie and all of those things, had a fancy hat on with a walking cane. And he walked up and he saw that little boy crying. And he said, "Son, what's the matter?" And he bent down to listen to him, and the little boy told him what he wanted and why he needed to see the king, and that those guards would not let him in. And he looked at the little boy and he said, "Son, take my hand. Don't you worry about those guards." And he came up to the gate, and when that man walked up to the gate holding that little boy's hands, those gates flung open. And he walked right through. He said, "Don't you worry about them." And he walked right through there to the palace, to the open, and the door swung open for him. He walked down the hallway and walked all the way to the throne room of the king, and the doors opened. And he took this little boy by the hand and walked him right to the king who sat on the throne. And he said, "You tell him what you told me." You know who that businessman was? He was the Prince of Wales, the king's son. And because that little boy had a hold of the Prince of Wales' hand, the king's son, he got access to the king. You can't have your heart's not pure. If you got to meet God's qualifications, you're not worthy. But somebody is. Somebody's worthy. It's the King's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And though you're not worthy, the King's Son came to this earth, and he walked on this earth, and he lived a perfect life. He had a pure heart. He spoke the truth. He never did anything wrong, kept the commandments. And when he was about 33 years old, they took the king's son and they hung him on a cross. He didn't do anything wrong. They just hung him on a cross and murdered him. And he died on that cross that day. And he died for sins, for my sins, for your sins. 1 John chapter 2 says this: "He died not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And to show that God was pleased with what he did, the Bible says that 3 days later, the Father raised him from the grave. And the Bible says this: that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm going to skip a verse and go to verse 13, and it says this: "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you know, I talked to God this morning. I talked to him this afternoon. I have access to the throne because I know his son. That's how you get into the king. That's how you get to serve in the right kingdom. You can only do it through the Son. But the Son wants you to come. Maybe even tonight, you're not speaking it out loud, and maybe nobody knows. But just like that little boy, there was something pressing on your heart, something you needed, and only he could help. And the Son says, "Son, daughter, give me your hand. Let's go see my dad." He holds out his hand for you to grasp it tonight in faith, recognizing that you're not good enough. You can't do enough. You're a sinner, and you can't live a perfect life. But he lived it in your place. If you would recognize that you can't please God, but Christ did, and you would receive Christ tonight by faith, you can be a servant of God's kingdom. You don't have to do anything to get in the devil's kingdom. He'll take you just like you are. When he's done with you, he'll roll you up like a piece of trash and throw you away. But Jesus did everything you need for God's kingdom. All that's left is that you say, "Lord, I want you to forgive me of my sin. I want you to be my, I believe you are who you say you are. And you can have eternal life. Remember, you're an everlasting soul. You're going to live somewhere forever. But if you're going to live in the kingdom of heaven, you must have your sin forgiven, and only Jesus can do that for you. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight, can we? As your heads are bowed, I just would ask you, do you know Jesus tonight personally? Do you know him as your Savior? If you don't, you can. And I would invite you tonight to come. You can come up here and say, Pastor, I would like to know. And I'll help you, or I'll find somebody that would help you. But there's only one way to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, would you come tonight and let me take a Bible, let somebody take a Bible, show you how you can know you have eternal life. We'll hold the games. There'll be plenty of games to play and candy. But just think about that tonight. We're going to sing a verse or two of song, or you're going to play a verse of invitation, all right? And we'll just do that. Let's, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's just pray and ask God. If God's spoken to your heart, would you come tonight? Would you stand up and come and speak with me tonight?